The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and he made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that these words that were written on the scroll of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." As he walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he called to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he walked along, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and they immediately left their father in the boat and followed him. And Jesus went throughout the Galilee region, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every sickness and every disease among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And Georgina has stories for the young people this morning, if you'd like to follow her out to the pink chairs. She has the story about Jesus' disciple and also about Officer Buckle and Gloria, which keeps making its way into Word for Children because it's one of my favorite stories. The dog who does tricks behind Officer Buckle's back. Safety patrol. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and from the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. Every empire has a shelf life. Every empire, every human empire has a shelf life. And I can't help but think that we are seeing the end of days of the empire of the United States of America. I'm glad you're laughing because I don't think it's very funny. For those of you who don't know, I'm an American citizen, which is why I don't think it's very funny. But yesterday, I happened to be in Seattle, where the largest women's march was planned, and they had anticipated that that women's march was going to have 30,000 people attend. And so my friends and I made our way to the park where the rally was before the march, and I wish that I had the technology to show you the pictures that I took, the sea of people with pink kitty cat hats and signs and the wonderful speeches that were given on behalf of all people about how America was founded, the United States of America was founded on the principle that all people deserved a place of sanctuary and inclusion and belonging, and how far this country has come from that ideal. When the rally was over and the march was said to move out of the park onto the streets, we found that we couldn't go anywhere. We were shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe, and we marched in little half steps and stopped more than we walked. And we walked like that for 2 hours before we decided that we couldn't wait and walk anymore because we were going to miss our flight back to Calgary. And upon returning to the house, we discovered that there were not 30,000 people in that march, but 130,000 people. 130,000 people carrying signs about peace and love and justice. I never saw this before, but if you look at the word revolution, it starts with an R, but the next four letters are love spelled backward. And people had signs that said it's time for a revolution with love spelled big backwards in that word. and my favorite sign of all. Let's make America kind again. And the conversations I had with people on the street made it clear that they wanted to return to the principles and the values upon which America was founded. And I was thinking much of the time that, you know, there's been lots of times in the course of my life when I've disagreed with what's going on in the government or politics or who was elected here or there or whatever, but I never disagreed enough to get off my couch and pull away from my TV and take to the streets and actually vote with my feet in public. And that's what was happening. People rising up and saying, this empire, this way that we're headed, has to have a shelf life and it has to come to an end. And it's time for us to be kind again. Jesus was in the same situation. It's sometimes hard for us to remember that his story in the Gospel of Matthew begins with murder. Herod was threatened, and he sent his people to Bethlehem to kill every young child who might be the Messiah. And the story of the good news begins with a massacre of innocent children. It's hard for us to picture that kind of empire. Our text says that Rachel was weeping for her children, but actually that word is mistranslated. The word is shrieking. It's hard to even say that word and not get in touch with what the women and the people of Bethlehem must have experienced on that day, when the person in power who was afraid of a little child. See, when Jesus withdrew to Galilee and began to walk on the shore, he called to people, and they didn't stay in their boats. They didn't stay with their nets. They didn't stay with their fathers. The translation is, they didn't stay on their sofa behind the TV in disagreement. A revolution was coming, and they felt so strongly about it that they abandoned everything that they had known. They abandoned the thing that was putting food on their table and supporting their families. And if it wasn't clear to us when Simon and Andrew dropped their nets and followed Jesus, it does become clear when James and John do. Because our text specifically says they left their father in the boat and followed him. And we need to be clear that what Jesus was up to was a regime change. The Roman Empire also had a shelf life. And every tyrannical empire has a shelf life when it doesn't care for the people with whose lives it is charged to care for. I'm trying to imagine what sign Jesus would have carried. Make Galilee kind again. It's time for a love revolution. We are in need of peace and solidarity and unity. We need to care for one another. We can't see those signs, but we hear them in the text. He went about the region preaching in their synagogues. He went to their places of worship where people turned to God for refuge and sanctuary. That's where he was teaching. He was appealing to the God of justice and peace on behalf of all people. And if that wasn't clear enough, the text goes on to say, he went about proclaiming good news. And it was news that made people drop their nets and abandon things and people and join the movement. He went around curing every sickness and every disease among the people. This is the Christ we follow. Not one who promises to make America great again, or Canada great again, or the world great again, but one who sits and listens with individual people, who calls them to higher ideals of justice and mercy and love, things we can't see with our eyes, but we know when they're present. Jesus calls us to be part of an invisible empire, a network of caring for one another, no matter who's on the throne of the empire we do see. Sometimes it's easier for us than other times, and it seems to me that this is the beginning of a time when it's going to be very hard for us to follow Jesus in his way, because there's going to be a lot of rhetoric about me first coming from the South. And as we all know, Canada kind of follows suit. It's time for us to not follow suit, unless the one we're following is the Christ. Because he called 2,000 years ago, but he also calls today. And he offers us a sign of the kingdom. Where he is found, people will be healed and whole. They'll be speaking about justice and peace and mercy. They'll be listening to one another with compassion and holding out a hand or a shoulder to cry on. They'll be walking and accompanying those who are the least amongst us, whose voices aren't often heard. The signs of the kingdom will be everywhere. And Jesus is calling us to be part of that movement. If you were to make a sign for yourself for these times, what would it say? What calls to you from the depth of your being, your hopes for the people who live to the south of us, and for the people who live here amongst us, and for all the world? Jesus is calling for you to get on your feet and join the movement. May his grace and his peace lead you, his hope and his love sustain you, his wisdom inspire you, and the model of his life give you courage and good cheer. Amen.